This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. In April 2017, the La Crosse County Health Department notified 2,000 households their private wells may be contaminated. After testing more than 500 wells in the town of Holland and the town of Onalaska, officials found 30% exceeded health standards for nitrates. The water contamination problems had likely been going on for years, but county health officials were never notified by state regulators. A new piece of legislation authored by two La Crosse lawmakers is looking to change that by creating a statewide water pollution notification system. Joining us to talk about the bill is one of the authors, Democratic State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, and La Crosse County Health Department Director Jen Rombalski. Jen, I wonder if you can start by talking a little bit about kind of what happened back in 2016, 2017, of when the county first understood this situation.
Yeah, so this information came to us truly by happenstance. We happened to have our environmental health director at the time, our environmental health manager, was reading a Legislative Audit Bureau report, and it had in there some violations from Wisconsin Pollution and Discharge Elimination System, or WPDES, facilities, and one of them was in La Crosse County, and it did happen to be a concentrated animal feeding operation in our county, and it identified that there had been violations, particularly in the nitrates in the monitoring wells at that facility, for some time, and that led us to wonder about the quality of the water around that facility and whether or not we had a problem. So we sought out some more information, and that really led directly to requesting the residents do a water sample.
And can you explain what nitrate is and why it's bad for humans to consume them?
Yeah, so a nitrate is a compound that you can find in many types of food and water supplies. It can be there in an amount that isn't harmful. However, anything over 10 micrograms per deciliter is considered over the limit that we would want to see for health effects. There's still a lot of research going on in regards to long-term health effects relating to certain types of cancers and other items in adults. Most people have heard about nitrates as a concern relating to infants and pregnant women, specifically because of what we call blue baby syndrome. And it does interfere with the ability of hemoglobin to really have the oxygen level in your blood that you need to have.
I mentioned that 30% of the wells that the county ended up testing exceeded health standards for nitrates. I mean, does the county have a sense more broadly of like how many households may have had their water contaminated because of these issues?
Well, we sent this letter to 2,000 well owners in the town of Holland and the town of Onalaska, and more than 500 tested. So 30% of them testing high is a significant number of households in those two fairly small areas. So that was enough for us to be quite concerned about this issue. It's not something that flushes out of the system quickly. If that continues to be the case over time, then again, we have long-term exposure to nitrates in well owners' public drinking water or their private drinking water supplies that can cause health effects. And that's certainly something we're concerned about.
Why do you think it was so difficult for the county to obtain this information from the DNR, not only in the first place of not knowing about it until kind of happening upon this information, but then also just getting that information from the DNR, even when the county is requesting it?
So let me share some of the facts around that process and how that went, because it's really difficult for me to answer the question of why. I don't really understand why that was so difficult. I personally believe in transparent government. It's something that I operate the health department by as often as possible. I think it's really important to be really open with the public that we serve, and that includes any data sources that we have that could potentially be something that could be of concern for them to be aware of. So back when we read that Legislative Audit Bureau report in the summer of 2016, we asked the DNR for information, and we did not receive the information that we had asked for. And that was in conjunction with our Health and Human Services Board. And we did get a response from them, but it did not include the information that we had asked for. So that led our county board chair to do an open records request, four separate open records requests at the end of 2016. 16, and we did not get that information until the beginning of 2017. So that was about a month and a half, 2 month process as well, to get the information that we were looking for in order to make a decision about what we should do, whether or not we really did have a problem that we needed to notify the public about. And as soon as we knew that that was problematic and we got the information about the violations and the monitoring well data that had led to those violations, and we had asked questions about what happened with those violations, which we didn't really ever understand, we took that information directly to the public, because I think that's exactly what a health department and county government should be doing, and other levels of government as well. But I'm only accountable for the health department, so that's certainly how we're going to operate. And we sent an individual letter out to all of those that had a private well, and we let them know about this concern, and we told them what you can do is test your water so we can find out what level of problem we really have here.
How do you think the county would have responded if you guys knew about these violations as they were happening?
What that gives us is information to be able to track and monitor over time. We would have been able to see earlier in the process that we might have an issue, and we might have been able to earlier, you know, years before, asked people to test their water. We could be years ahead of where we are now. And with the ability for us to look at data and to share that information with the public we serve, to know that we're years behind just is a tough pill to swallow, so to speak, because we really just always want to be upfront with the public we serve and be as informative as possible, as early as possible, and as responsive as possible. So we're trying to do the best we can with information that came to us late.
Representative Billings, I wonder what your reaction was when you first heard about this issue in La Crosse County.
I couldn't believe it. My background is on the county board, so I had toured the lab before when I was on the Health and Human Services Board and knew of the really good work that was done there. And I know that La Crosse County Public Health is absolutely ready to address issues that come up in front of them. So when I learned that the information that they needed to keep people safe was not being given, I couldn't believe it. So I talked with somebody from the DNR. This was when the issue first came up in the last session. I sat down with someone from the DNR and I said, how can this happen that my local county health department can't get this information? And the response was, our ears are pinned back, that we need to have something in statute in order for us to go ahead and do this work of notifying people. We really need statute to enable us to do that. So I said, well, I can write a law that says that you have to do that. I mean, I think the DNR wants to do the right thing by people, but I know that they've lost a lot of scientists in the last 8 years. I know their budget's been cut in the last 8 years, and I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I'm saying this needs to be a priority, and so I decided to write legislation last year at the end of session. And then revisit it. The legislation didn't make it through. And then I revisited the legislation again this year, and I think created a better bill. Took a little more time to sit down with our local health department, who was really great to work with, and also with the DNR, who was very good to work with, and talk about how we could create a bill that worked within budgets for both entities, because our local public health departments also, you know, are struggling with budget too. So we had to come up with a plan that would work for the state and for the local governments, and number one, make sure that people are notified if there could be an issue with water in their area of the state.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about water quality issues and how a new bill would help better inform La Crosse County officials and residents about possible water pollution. We're here with Democratic State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse and La Crosse County Health Department Director Jen Rombalski. So, Representative Billings, I wonder if you can kind of explain what the Water Pollution Notification Act would do.
Mm-hmm. So the DNR tests the monitoring wells around the CAFOs, or it could be an industrial site. And if they have a credible positive test, then they have 7 business days to notify local county health departments or land conservation, local land conservation departments. And I think that this bill makes sure that the local people who have the best way, I think, of contacting, have the best addresses for contacting their locals, their local people who might be affected, that they'll get the information. It enables the local people to contact people who have wells around a site that test positive and let them know that they should test their water because they may have an issue with their drinking water from their private well.
Yeah, do we have a sense that, this notification system, is it strictly important for people with private wells, or, are there potential issues for, like, municipal water systems as well?
This would apply to people who there's already testing that's done and notification for municipal systems. This is for people who have private wells. The second part of this bill that is really helpful to people who have their private wells is that they can check online with the DNR to see if there could be problems in the area proactively. So the DNR is required by this bill to create a notification system so that people can check in with the DNR and see if a well in their area that's being tested is testing positive.
Jen, I wonder if you can maybe explain a little bit about, Representative Billings mentioned the Wisconsin Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. That's this permit system that we're talking about. Can you kind of explain, like, who are permit holders within this system, like, in our area?
Yeah, so, we have approximately 17 WPDES systems in our area, and they include those that are spreading manure on land. So this could be like our concentrated animal feeding operation, because there is manure that is then spread across the land. Any type of facility that has a certain number of animal units would be considered a CAFO, and we only have one of those in our county, though we have a couple others that are close. We also have some facilities that are spreading for municipal waste, for example, and they would be considered a WPDES system. So there are several different types of facilities that would be considered a permittee of this WPDES program.
And this could also include, my understanding is, manufacturers or even industrial sites as well.
Mm-hmm. It could. You just have to meet the definition of what that means, and then you would be monitored through the DNR for assuring water quality and other aspects are in compliance with the WPDES program.
Representative Billings, do you have any sense when talking with the DNR, how often a violation of water standards through this permit system happens? How often potentially could this notification system be triggered?
When we worked with the DNR, we really made sure that there was a credible issue of a well testing high. Sometimes there can be a flag on a testing well because a sample isn't sent in a timely manner, or there may be other issues. We wanted to make sure that we had the most credible situations where we know that there is an issue with the water. We don't want to make people scared unnecessarily. And so I think that was part of working the situation out with the DNR. And they said that they would absolutely be able to, within 7 days, let people know with the number of issues that they have with wells testing high. This is a bill that we've gotten great response from people throughout the state. I received a Christmas card from somebody who said, "Thank you for this bill." People have contacted my office and other legislators because this is an issue that exists all over Wisconsin, from southeast Wisconsin or northeast Wisconsin to southwest Wisconsin. Kewaunee County had a study done, and 30% of their wells tested high. In the karst areas, it was 42% of their wells tested high. with nitrates and issues that could affect the health of people who were drinking the water. We know there was a study that was done in southwest Wisconsin where 30% of the wells tested high. And so we know this is an issue throughout Wisconsin, and people throughout Wisconsin are really happy to see this bill and are hoping that it can actually pass through and be signed into law.
Representative Billings, I'm glad you brought up the Southwest Wisconsin Groundwater and Geology Study, the SWIG study, that's currently going on with Lafayette County, Iowa County, and Grant County. In Lafayette County, we recently saw an attempt by some county officials to restrict information coming from that study. I wonder what your thoughts are, Representative Billings, of how does that change the way you're thinking about this notification system and the importance of getting, you know, information out to local officials and the public?
I've always been a believer in open and transparent government. So I was disappointed to see what had happened in that county. I know that in La Crosse County, we would not see that happen. But different counties are different and different county boards are different. That's why it's important that this law becomes state statute so the DNR knows what their job is and that they send the notification out to locals. I think when we notify not just land conservation, but also our local health departments, that's double notification on the local level. And also setting up a system where people can log into a site on the DNR and check the wells themselves, check the wells in their area, and make sure that there have not been wells that have tested high for pollutants. That's absolutely going to be something that will help private well owners.
Jen, I wonder what your thoughts are on this. If the situation in Lafayette County, an effort to potentially restrict information, I don't know, does that impact the way you're thinking about this notification system?
No, I don't think it does, because while things can happen like that in various counties, I think what's important specifically about this bill is that the intent and the thought that went into trying to assure a systems change would happen that would work for both levels, the county and the state level, so DNR state level and local health department and land conservation levels, was really good. And we needed to make sure, and the legislators, you know, Representative Billings, who spearheaded this, did a good job of making sure that we could all balance those, and not just La Crosse County. We're considered a larger county compared to others around us. I've been in Buffalo County. Those smaller counties have a harder time identifying what information is coming to them, knowing what to do with that information. So what they did with this bill and assuring a systems change would happen where information would be shared and there would be something that could be done with that information to help the public be aware. Awareness and education is always at the forefront, and I think that's really important. And I think that's happening here. As far as the notification piece, I think that allows, so there's the notification to the county departments, which I already spoke about, the notification piece where as a private citizen, you could find out what's happening at WPDES permitted sites around you and discover if there could be something of concern. At least that's information that you can then do some research on your own. You can ask experts about what that might mean for your own water supply. So it gives power to the individuals that have private wells, and it allows the county government departments whose job it is to protect the public, it allows them the information they need to assure that that happens.
Yeah, I wanted to dig in a little bit more about kind of, you know, if we did have this notification system, what could county officials do or do differently than they do right now? I mean, I wonder kind of what the responsibility is of counties to help monitor private wells, in your opinion?
Well, when you look at the health code for La Crosse County, for example, our health code says that the health department is in charge of assuring health across everything. So that's air, water, everything. While we don't always have all the authority to do that, we need to work in conjunction with others. And so I think if you don't have the information, if you have to count on an employee to be seeking out and reading a Legislative Audit Bureau report, which often does not happen in most counties, in order to get that information to be able to identify there's something you need to share with the public, that is not a good scenario across the state. So this bill would result in a systems change that would assure at least we have the information. Then it would be up to the job of the local land con and health departments to be monitoring that over time and to have that information so they can see, just like we do with communicable diseases, we look at how many reports did we get for this type of communicable disease, how many reports did we get from the DNR that this type of violation occurred on this particular, like, for example, if it's nitrates or if it's some other compound in the groundwater, then we can determine, do we need to raise this up and ask more questions of the state health department? Do we need to notify our public? Do we need to do more digging and assessment or investigation about this issue? It can be the launching pad. Information can be the launching pad for next steps.
Is there a cost that comes with those next steps after information?
There certainly is. When you look at what La Crosse County has done, you know, when we got that information and we notified the public that testing happened, thankfully we have the capacity to do that in our health department. Many health departments do not have a lab of their own. So we were able to provide that locally, conveniently for our public. We did it at a reduced cost. That was because we have a CDC water grant that allowed us to subsidize the cost of that. So all of that was leveraged by the health department to help our residents do the testing. Once we got the test results back, we had to look at that data and determine what to do with it next. We wrote a grant to the state health department, the Environmental Public Health Tracking Program. We got $10,000 to be able to study the issue further, because it starts with information assessment. You know, then we're looking at, you know, what do we do that with that information? What does that actually mean? So that further investigation and research went through that process of 9 months with a consultant leading that process, asking various stakeholders to come in and just doing it in the right way. Of course, that costs money and time and energy. Is it worth it? You bet it is. Then once that was done, we identify a set of recommendations. Those recommendations don't happen on their own. Many of them are not actually in the authority of the health department to do. They're things like, you know, assuring there's enough green space in that area, thinking about having a municipal wastewater system so that if for example, you know, there are some other ways that that nitrate contaminant is happening, because we can't determine that source 100% assured. So then maybe that could help eliminate some of that other cause as well. And we're currently working on an educational program to assure that if you were to purchase a home in that area, that you would know immediately that that has been a challenge in the area. So that's working in conjunction with the municipality leaders. It's working in conjunction with realtors, with anyone along that path who might be able to assure that you know that information. And then it's also about, what do we do next? How do we, is there a way to really determine the source? And would that help us to know the source? What would we do differently if we knew for sure 20% of it was caused by this, 80% of it was caused by this, or whatever that might turn out to be? So we're looking at that next step now. We actually did get approval from the Health and Human Services Board and County Board to support using some fund balance from the Health Department, which is there because we've been very fiscally responsible with our dollars, to do some further assessment should we need to in 2020. And so we're working on that plan now. But again, we can't do that on our own. It needs to be in conjunction with other partners, and it needs to really be everyone working together to assure that we're all living in an environmentally sound area so that we're not continuing the pollutants.
Yeah, Representative Billings, you brought up this idea of wanting to make sure that this notification system fits within county's budgets, fits within the DNR's budget. Can you speak more to how those conversations went?
Well, originally we talked about having the DNR notify people locally, the individual well holders who might be affected. But as we looked in the reality of people moving, people renting, we really looked at the best way to try to make that work. We originally did not want to put that onus on the local governments, because we know that local governments are struggling with budgets too. That I think with shared revenue, the state historically in the last decade hasn't supported local governments the way that I think they should. So I was very nervous about putting another mandate on local government without funding it. But as we looked at the best way to make sure that people had safe drinking water, it seemed to make sense. I mean, it does make sense to have the local health department or land conservation notify people because they're closer to the source of the situation. So between our local health department, Jen, and the DNR, we kind of wrestled with that a little bit and then decided that that would probably be the best way to make the situation work for people who have private wells.
If you were a homeowner with a private well in this area and you got a letter from the DNR, I'm not sure how notification would happen, but how you do that matters. So if you got a letter that said this WPDES permittee, was in violation for this quarter in this monitoring well, you know, it's number one of eight monitoring wells, you would probably have no idea what that means. And so that needs to come along with some education. And I think the health department and land conservation departments are in a really good place to be able to add value to that information to help a homeowner understand what that means.
Jen Rombowski, head of the La Crosse County Health Department, is here with us today to talk about a recently introduced bill to quickly inform local officials and residents of groundwater pollution after La Crosse County residents were left in the dark by state regulators about threats to local groundwater. She's joined by State Representative Jill Billings, a Democrat from La Crosse and author of the bill. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on groundwater quality and talk about 2019 as the year of clean drinking water. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about groundwater quality and how state and local officials are working to keep citizens informed about possible pollution. A bill recently introduced by La Crosse lawmakers would create a statewide water pollution notification system to notify when manufacturers, farms, and other entities in the area impact groundwater quality. Joining us to talk about the idea and how it fits in with statewide initiatives to improve water quality are State Representative Jill Billings of La Crosse, a Democrat who helped author the bill, and Jen Rombowski, Director of the La Crosse County Health Department. So Governor Tony Evers declared 2019 as the year of clean drinking water. And Representative Billings, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what we saw come from that declaration. You know, if we've seen concrete changes in our state to help improve the quality of our water.
I appreciate that the governor declared 2019 the year of clean water. There were a few initiatives that were included on that. Some were pulled back by the Joint Finance Committee and Republicans when it came through the budget. He looked primarily at groundwater and also the issue with lead laterals, especially in Milwaukee and older cities throughout Wisconsin. There can be issues with lead laterals and that lead leaching into water. So there was some money to help Milwaukee with laterals. There was some pushback from some of the outer state area that felt like too much money was going to Milwaukee. So some of that was pulled back, unfortunately. But I appreciate the attention that the governor put on this issue. And in the state assembly, we actually have a task force on clean water. And they've been traveling throughout the state for the last several months, including Wisconsin, talking to local people about water issues, listening to experts in different areas of what we can do to, you know, make sure that we have access to clean water for everyone in Wisconsin. And this is going to be an issue that has to be addressed from several different areas. I believe that this week the task force will be coming out with their package of legislation at a press conference. And I'm hoping, I've talked to the chair and vice chair of that committee, the Republican and Democrat, and they both are in support of this bill. They're both actually have signed on to this bill as co-sponsors. And my hope is that this bill can kind of ride the tailcoats of the package that they come up with and can make it through the Assembly and the Senate, that this bill gets attention along with their package of bills and then can be signed into law. As I've talked to Representative Novak, the chair of that Water Quality Task Force, he said he thinks this is a good bill. They'd like to include it as a bill that that really should be should get the attention and be passed into law along with the recommendations that they'll come out with from their task force. So I am cautiously optimistic. Not a lot of bills have passed the legislature and been signed into law this year. So, you know, any bill is a long shot. But I'm hoping that everybody will see the good work and consideration that went into this bill and that it will pass.
Obviously, we'll be hearing more about the bills that are coming from this task force, but is there any other legislation that you know of or we know of at this moment that you really feel like is, or you're hopeful about, you feel like is going to help address this issue in La Crosse County and across the state?
I think that, again, this is an issue that is multifactorial. We have to look at this in a lot of different ways. I know that the Ag Secretary, Brad Paff, the previous Secretary Designee, who was not confirmed, unfortunately, they were looking at some of the siting regulations, and this was an issue that came out of the Walker administration. So I think people on both sides of the aisle know that we have to look at these issues. The question is, what's the right answer? You know, we're the dairy state. We value our egg industry. And as I've said before with this bill, you know, farmers have kids that drink water too. And so they want clean water too. We just have to make sure that what we do makes sense when it comes to siting and CAFOs. But I think clearly it's time to really look closely at that issue and make some changes. And I know that is something that this Water Quality Task Force looked at along with a lot of different issues. When they were here in La Crosse, we looked upstream to see what was happening there to help protect streams so that nitrates don't come into the water system as easily, but that there are barrier strips that can absorb some of those nitrates so they don't end up affecting as strongly as they could. I know that they went and visited in Milwaukee, and they looked at the issue of urban centers and water. And what do you do with old aging infrastructure and lead laterals that when kids are living in houses that, you know, may have water coming in through those lead laterals and may be exposed to lead if, you know, that could be an issue affecting them. Although I know that the lead paint issue is a lot of studies have shown that's actually a larger issue. But still, you know, when you look at these water issues, one thing that I've learned is that so many little pieces can add up, even what happened in La Crosse County. You can have several contributors that can affect what's happening with the quality of groundwater.
Jen, I wonder if there is legislation or issues that you would like to see the legislature address moving forward when it comes to this issue of water quality.
Well, you know, I think Jill is right when she talks about when you look across the state. I was really excited to hear that there would be an advisory committee that would come out and listen to the state, because the problems that affect various areas of the state are different. Some have trouble with bacteria, some have trouble with nitrates, some have not even had the resources to assess if there is a problem. And when you think about the precursors to good health, I mean, good air quality and good water quality just have to be foundational. So, you know, I think we have to be willing to pass some legislation that could make a positive impact, because when you look at, you know, even our nitrate policy recommendations that came out, most of them are policy related. you know, you can only educate so much. If you don't change the way that something works, that a system works, you are not going to have long-term beneficial effects. The trouble is assuring that there's a balance between the parties, you know, those that may be inadvertently causing some contamination and helping to assure that there's a system to help them do that more effectively. And that comes back to livestock siting laws, and it comes back to what we allow people to spread, in what sized area, in what way are we allowing them to use pivot irrigation systems, and you know, if we don't allow that, what is the implication of that? So it goes beyond any one department, and it really is pretty widespread. And so what is the best solution to those various problems? I look forward to seeing what comes out from that committee, because I think studying that issue last year is one of the first critical steps to determine what policy changes at the state level could really benefit our whole state. Again, you know, we're in charge of one county in terms of health. There are 72 or 71 other counties and health departments in those counties that we don't want to have this siloed activity happening. We don't want to all have to be trying to fund a study like the SWIG study in our own counties to figure out what that problem is. So I think the statewide approach is really critical, and there has to be policy-related items that can be passed to help us assure better water quality.
Representative Billings, in the first half of the program, you brought up this issue of not wanting to scare the public when it comes to informing them about pollution. And I wonder if you can speak about how we are balancing this when it comes to the notification system of not causing alarm.
I am concerned about making sure that two things, that people aren't scared unnecessarily and that people don't get notification fatigue. Right. So if you hear constant notification, people say, nah, I'm not going to pay attention anymore. So we wanted to make sure that it was a credible issue with the wells, the testing wells. And we wanted to make sure that it came from our local county governments, because there's a respect there that people have faith, I think, in their local governments. And so we wanted to make sure that people had the right information at the right time, and then could also get information on, as Jen said, information on what to do about it, so that you don't just get a notification, oh boy, so my water tests high, so that's it, I guess. What do I do with that information?
You bring up a good point of testing is just the first step mm-hmm. in all of this. It does nothing to address the actual pollution mm-hmm. in the water. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what is that next step? Is that, does that happen at the state level or the local level or the individual level?
Well, I am really interested in seeing what comes out of the Water Quality Task Force and the State Assembly. And I know that they have done good work studying these issues and learning from experts on these issues. And my hope is that there'll be a really nice package of legislation that will help address the issue as it needs to be addressed in Wisconsin. So I'm really waiting and excited, as most people, I think, in the legislature are. We've been waiting. We know they've done good work as they visited our different legislative areas. Other legislators like me have been invited in to listen with them in the public hearings and learn from the experts, too. I know that they've done some good work, and I'm hoping that it'll be fruitful work.
Yeah, Jen.
I was just going to add that when you talk about testing at the individual level, it's always been a recommendation of health departments that private well owners test annually, and this is why. It's not just because, you know, it's not just if you might have a risk level, for example, or if you have a pregnant woman in the home or a child under the age of one. Always important, because you may not be aware of what might be around your home, and that allows you to have the information you need. Then you have a lab that calls you back with that information, and it can explain what do you do about it. So if you have high nitrates, for example, we can give options up to and including a reverse osmosis system that can help your water supply be safe to drink. But then when you look at also thinking about you know, other areas of not just private well owners, but if you get a result, this is why I think it's beneficial for the health department to have the information coming from monitoring wells at CAFOs and at WPDES system sites, because then we can identify if this is something really that we should be notifying the public about, or we should just be monitoring. And similarly, what do they do about that then? If we're able to share that information with them and give them additional added value about what to do with that information. And I think, you know, monitoring wells at these locations can be very confusing information. They're monitoring for various things. And I think it also comes back to the level of the state DNR. What are they doing with the violations? Are they assuring that the violations are getting corrected on a timely manner? So that means that every entity, from the individual to the local government entity, to the state government entity, we all have a job to do. And when we do that together, then the public can rightly be assured that they're getting all the information they need.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like county officials, all county officials, have the understanding, the knowledge to know how to interpret the results of these, you know, notifications if they get notified that there's a violation? You know, do you feel confident that county officials are being, you know, educated to know what to do next?
You know, I think that's something we need to talk about and address. So the way that the health departments, at least in the state, is structured, there are regional offices that are supported by the state health department. And so I think that's a conversation we meet every month with our regional office staff and all of the health department health officers around our region in the western region of the state. So I think there are mechanisms in place to make sure that we do have the information we need to adequately identify what that report means to us. I can't speak for land conservation departments, but they tend to be pretty educated on how to look at those types of results too. So I think we do still have some information and like education of our own selves to do to make sure that every health department and every land conservation department understands what to do with that information. But over the course of this last 2 years, I would say, there's even a land and water conservation group at the state level that's working together, which my environmental health manager is a part of. And we've brought folks from that group and state land conservation and health departments and locals together as a panel to talk about water quality. So it's been at the forefront of conversations for the last couple of years. So I don't think that's a big lift for us to do.
That's Jen Rombowski. She's head of the La Crosse County Health Department and here with us today to talk about groundwater quality and how local and state officials are working to prevent pollution. She's joined by La Crosse Democratic State Representative Jill Billings. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Jen, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, when it comes to testing, just the cost of testing and also the cost of having to respond to pollution, you know, is this issue a cost burden for those who own private wells?
You know, I think it does have a cost. We're not talking in the $100 range. We're talking maybe in the $35 range to get a nitrate and a bacteria sample tested. And that varies across counties. It just depends upon what lab is doing that test for you. So it would not likely be more than $50. And on an annual basis, while that still can be a challenge to certain individuals who may have a private well, I think it needs to be part of your routine maintenance of your home, that if you have a private well, you do an annual water test for at least bacteria and nitrates so that you know. And so I don't think, while it is a cost, I don't think it's a huge cost, and I think it's one that is well worth the investment that a private homeowner may make. I think part of the barrier is just how busy we are and how long that water test bottle might sit on your counter before you actually put the water in it in order to and bring it back to the lab who's testing it to analyze it for you. But I do think that that's worth making that a priority each year. Many people don't do it every year. It's still our recommendation because water levels change. And we had a lot of flooding in 2019, a lot of water, and that can change the groundwater levels and it can change how water flows. And, you know, things pop up. There's developments all the time. The way land is being used can be changing and that can all affect your groundwater. So I think it's important to do it every year.
Jen, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue that Representative Billings brought up earlier of apathy to these notifications, but also just to this issue in general. I mean, are we at risk of people becoming, you know, kind of fatigued and not, you know, as reactionary every time they hear about a possible water contamination issue?
You know, I think it's a real fair point that is brought up because we have so much information coming at us as just private citizens every day. I think we have to manage that carefully. And from a health department standpoint, I would much rather be receiving this information on a regular basis, tracking and monitoring it on behalf of the public, and then notifying them when it's really important to know. Just as we did when we found out there was an issue with the Legislative Audit Bureau report, we did not tell the public immediately because we wanted the right information to know whether or not we really needed to take it to them. And once we knew that and we needed them to do something with it, that's when we notified the public. So, you know, that's how we operate. I would hope that's how every county government operates. It's our job to be watching that for you and notifying the public when it's something you need to take action on or you really need to be aware of.
As we wrap up here, Jen, I wonder if you could just briefly talk about where things stand right now in La Crosse County. You know, what more needs to be done to make sure that the wells that were found to be contaminated are safe now?
You know, we're in a bit of a tough spot, I'll be honest. You know, we've done now the assessment of the private wells in that area. We know there's a nitrate problem. We know bacteria is okay. We know how quickly water moves through that area. There really is no good study that will directly identify the source of nitrate. You can do that for bacteria. You can't do that for nitrate. So we've wondered about how much more resource we might put in to really identifying is the source from a WPDS facility? Is the source from the waste that's being spread in other areas, like by municipalities? Is the source from the size of the lots in a certain area and the fact that each one of them has their own septic system? Is the source from other contaminants like you know, placing nitrates on the ground for your lawn care? All of those could be sources of the nitrate issue. We have no way of really knowing what's causing the source, and all of those have different policy changes or different educational aspects that would alleviate some of that problem. So I think that's the challenge, is to figure out, if we do something else, what is the best thing we could do that fits the problem. So we have gone forward and we have secured funds to support additional testing. I frankly need to have a really solid plan to assure that I'm going to spend that money, because while I'm happy to do that on behalf of the public's health, I want to make sure what we're going to get out of that study is going to tell us what to do next. And frankly, what to do next doesn't always happen in the health department's authority. I think it comes back to looking at the policy recommendations that we made in the nitrate report that we did after the 9 months of studying this issue. And only one of those top five really can be something the health department can do anything about, which is the educational aspect. So it will take more than just the health department.
And Representative Billings, as we wrap up here, you know, I wanted to just open the floor to more than just water quality. What issues are you looking at in this next session that you think will really gain traction? Do you think that is kind of on the minds of you and other lawmakers?
Well, looking forward to this year, continuing on in this second year of our session, it's going to go quickly because elections are coming up and legislators want to be back in their home districts. So the Senate's talked about meeting just a few times, maybe two or three times, and the Assembly probably one or two times more than that. So we won't be, there's always a push this time of year for everyone to get their legislation through. I'm hoping that this water Pollution Notification Act will make it through, along with some other recommendations from the Water Quality Task Force. I'm working on getting some legislation through that is some of the stuff that is kind of left over from the governor's task force on opioid abuse from the last few years. There's some pieces that are still out there that we're trying to get through. As the session continues on, stuff like peer recovery coaches and looking at alternatives to opioids like acupuncture and other therapies, really good legislation that I'm hoping that we can come together with bipartisan agreement on. And I think we will. There's some legislation that I think that was left on the table that I wish that we could make through, but I don't know how it will go. The dark store loophole, making sure the big box stores pay their fair share. We really need to get that through. The governor pushed so hard to get the legislature to go along with accepting those federal health care dollars, and that hasn't happened so far. There's still time for that. And also some gun safety legislation that my colleagues on the other side were reluctant to take up, but it's really common sense legislation on universal background checks and red flag stuff. So I'm hopeful that that some good bipartisan bills will still, some good legislation will pass, and we can end on a high note and feel good about some of the stuff we were able to accomplish, because it was not a lot of action last year, and that's a disappointment.
State Representative Jill Billings joined us today to talk about local issues, including groundwater quality and a new bill called the Water Pollution Notification Act. She was joined by La Crosse County Health Department Director Jen Rombalski. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our show is produced by Senior News Editor and Producer John Davis. If you missed part of today's program, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.